Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture is Mark 10, verse 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want for me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
Thank you, choir, for that beautiful anthem. Yeah, and to Julie for that beautiful reading. It's so good to have Julie here. When I first glanced at this week's scripture passage, it struck me as relatively straightforward. Blind Bartimaeus, as he's come to be known, is a Bible character that shows up in children's Sunday school lessons and in the regular rotation of our lectionary readings. It's not a long or very complex account, so while the particular details of the story might not stick in our minds, the name Bartimaeus, at least for some of us, is likely to ring a bell. But the more I sat with this passage, the more I began to reconsider my original notion that this account is straightforward. Because in many ways, it's a healing story. Classic Jesus. Jesus heals one who is sick or broken or disenfranchised or in need. But in other ways, it's a discipleship story, an account that deeply and profoundly points to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And as I wrestled with this passage this week, these two themes, healing and discipleship, seemed like unusual bedfellows. How can it be equally an account about healing and about discipleship? Nevertheless, here they are, both featured strongly in our scripture reading for today. And the healing aspects of the story are perhaps the most prominent, at least at first glance. And I want to say right off the bat that I have ambivalent feelings about the healing stories in the Bible. I both love and fear when these passages turn up in the lectionary. On the one hand, I cling to these stories as beacons of hope, as signs of God's intention for us, healing and wholeness and restoration. It matters to me that our wounds matter to Jesus. It makes a difference to me that Jesus stops in his tracks to tend to the needs of the least and the last and the hurting and the lost. But on the flip side of that, these healing stories make me somewhat uneasy, because the truth is we all know plenty of people, including perhaps ourselves or dear family and friends, who have sought healing, who have prayed for healing, who have been in desperate need of healing, and who have not received it, at least not in the form they hoped. And so these stories can be hard. They inevitably lead us to difficult questions for which there are no simple answers. So as we engage this story of Bartimaeus, I want to acknowledge the tender places that it might touch for some of us, perhaps many of us, as we continue to struggle with where and how healing comes and how we hold on to hope in the midst of our waiting and needing and hoping and praying. For Bartimaeus, blind for who knows how long, healing did finally come quickly through this encounter with Jesus. He was poor and he was begging by the side of the road. Upon hearing that Jesus was approaching, Bartimaeus called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." We're told that the crowds shushed him, tried to shut him up, shut him down, which is not really altogether surprising. It's not surprising because in that day and age, people would have looked at Bartimaeus, blind, poor, a beggar on the street, and believed that his condition was the result of some failure or sin, either on his part or the part of someone in his family who had come before him. In at least some of their minds, Bartimaeus was in his God-given place in the world. And it was troubling, embarrassing, really, that he was making such a fuss. And then we might also acknowledge that it's not surprising that the crowd tried to shush Bartimaeus, because it's altogether likely that's what many of us might do under similar circumstances as well. I remember one time a few years back in another church when we took up the practice of inviting new worshipers to use a handheld microphone to introduce themselves. Briefly, we said, briefly. One day a newcomer got a hold of the microphone and offered much more than an introduction, more like a full-blown testimony. And as the disruption to the normal schedule of things became more and more apparent, you could feel the anxiety just rising in the room. The ushers started to inch like closer and closer to the person. The pastor started to move in, giving all kinds of nonverbal signs to wrap it up. Many of us, maybe most of us, might be inclined as politely as possible to quiet a disruption that threatens to impede the movement of the holy as we anticipate it or think it should be. Bartimaeus, shushed as he was, remained undeterred. He persisted. Metaphorically holding fast to that microphone, he just turned up the volume, yelling even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" And lo and behold, Jesus did. He stopped everything. To me, some of the most powerful words in this scripture passage are, "Jesus stood still." You might recall how Mark is the gospel that moves at an especially fast pace. It's full of words like suddenly and immediately. The full force of its energy barrels toward the conclusion of the story. But here, in response to the pleas of Bartimaeus, Jesus stood still, which makes it feel like a powerful and pivotal and holy moment. He called for Bartimaeus, but didn't just instantly heal him. Jesus asked him what he needed, what he wanted Jesus to do for him. As I've mentioned, we've come to call this individual blind Bartimaeus, as if the only significant thing about him was his blindness. But perhaps when Jesus looked at him, he didn't see just that. So he asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus, putting voice to his need, his hope, his deepest desire, asked for his sight to be restored. And it was. Again, this is a classic healing story in so many ways, but it's different in a few ways as well. For example, you might remember that Jesus healed many people under more private circumstances, actually instructing them to go and tell no one what had happened. That wasn't the case here at all. This was a very public healing without indication that Jesus wanted Bartimaeus to keep things on the QT at all. And instead of going his own way, as did most people after they were healed by Jesus, we're actually told in this account that Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way, on Jesus' way. He joined the movement. He didn't go off on his own. And it's this piece that helps us make the leap into how this healing story is also very much a story about discipleship. Because Bartimaeus clearly became one of Jesus' disciples, a follower of the way, as the early Christians were called. And he did so at a critical time. This account is the last of the healing stories in Mark's gospel, and it's located immediately before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. So Bartimaeus became a follower, not in the easier, breezier days of the movement, but at a really hard time, just when Jesus' popularity would wane and he would enter into a time of chaos and suffering and ultimately death. And the story of Bartimaeus reveals something important about discipleship, especially in comparison to Jesus' well-established followers. Because up until this point, Mark has been showing us how the disciples struggled to see Jesus, to truly see and understand who Jesus was. Remember, over and over and over again, his chosen and most immediate disciples missed the boat on who Jesus was and what he was all about. But here, Bartimaeus, one who couldn't physically see, actually saw Jesus more clearly than his own disciples did. Without vision, without sight, but with some deeper, clearer understanding, he called out to Jesus, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He used this messianic title, Son of David, in a way no one else had in Mark's gospel. And when Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus asked for help out of the place of his deepest need. He knew what Jesus could do for him. He asked for restoration of his sight. In contrast, you might remember that Jesus asked James and John, insiders, his own disciples, this exact same question just a few verses earlier. "What do you want me to do for you?" And they responded, still not seeing, still not grasping, understanding who Jesus was. They responded, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Even before his eyesight was restored, Bartimaeus saw Jesus. He named Jesus, and Jesus in turn saw and heard Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus followed him on the way, even though that way would lead immediately into Jerusalem. I think the other key element of this passage that makes it a discipleship story is the fact that Jesus didn't just reach out and heal Bartimaeus on his own, as he did with many other people. He involved the community, inviting them to be a part of it. Jesus didn't call Bartimaeus directly to come to him. He told the crowd to call Jesus. Call him to me. And the crowd, previously unable to see Bartimaeus as anything more than a blind beggar, saw the man, saw the person, and went to him. Those who had regarded him with disdain, those who had spoken sternly to him in order to quiet or cover over his cries, now said, "Oh, take heart, get up, he's calling you." Isn't that remarkable? I can just imagine that scene. patting him on the shoulder, maybe dusting him off a little bit, nudging him, guiding him with their hands, with their voices to approach Jesus. Jesus could have just healed Bartimaeus, but perhaps knowing that his time was now short, perhaps grabbing any opportunity to reinforce what it meant to be a disciple before his rapidly approaching death and resurrection, Jesus extended his mercy through the hands of others. In a sense, he opened the eyes of the crowd. He transformed their blindness. He taught them to extend mercy, his mercy, rather than hold fast to their first impulse to judge, to condemn, to dismiss. "Take heart," they said to the one whom they had just ignored. "Take heart, friend. Get up, go. He is calling you." Healing and discipleship. Discipleship and healing. These are threads that are somehow woven closely together in this unique account. And perhaps they're connected for a good reason. Our lives of discipleship are a lifelong journey. We are on the way. We are still on the path. And along that journey, as we lean into discipleship, we will experience healing. All of us, over time, in some way, shape, or form. It may be healing in our bodies, but it may be healing in our spirits, our hearts, our souls. But no doubt we will know God's healing if we persist along this Jesus way. And by that same token, along that journey, we will also experience the absence of healing. That's just real and honest and true. There will be times and places and circumstances when we long for healing for ourselves or another, and it does not come, at least not in the way that we hope. That is part of being human. As people of faith, we live in and with that tension. But as we lean into healing, our own and one another's, as we give and receive mercy, as we more and more freely exchange words like, "Take heart, friend, take heart," we will grow in discipleship. The eyes of our hearts and minds will continue to be opened. We'll more and more see ourselves and each other as worthy and beloved. We'll more and more see Jesus as the one who not only stands still with us, fully present in our pain or struggle or hardship, but as the one who is transforming it all and who invites us to be a part of that holy transformation. May we find healing in this path of discipleship, and may we grow in our discipleship as we are being healed, saved, restored by Christ, who sees us and loves us, each and every one of us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Loving and gracious and almighty God, we are reminded on this day that we are yours, that in the midst of all of the twists and turns of this life's journey, in the midst of the ups and the downs of our individual and collective paths of discipleship, we are yours. We find a home in you and a place of rest and reassurance and renewal. We are grateful and we give you our thanks and our praise. We know, God, that you are aware of all of our hopes and our joys and our worries and our concerns. Sometimes it is hard to find the words to express what we need. And so we open our hearts to you and offer our joy and our sorrow. We know that you meet us in our places of deepest need. We lift up prayers for those known to us who are in need of healing in body or mind or soul or spirit. It is so mysterious the ways that you work in this world, but we persist and we continue to ask for your healing in places where there is such great need. Be at work with your light and your love, your mercy and your compassion. Use us in that ministry of healing as we reach out to one another. We lift up those who are grieving on this day, mindful of the heavy burden of loss that companions so many of us. Help us to feel your presence and to know your encouragement that is with us. We pray, O God, as we grow in our own lives of discipleship, that we will know the healing that you bring to our lives and that we will extend that healing to others. Even the sirens remind us of how much hurt there is. Help us to be hands and voices and arms of your love, your grace, your peace extended out into the world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.